haven't had sex since I started this job because I don't have time to sleep, let alone meet anyone. Oh, please. That's not an excuse for not having sex. You don't need to meet anyone these days for that. Huh? Just use Tinder. She pulled out her phone. Download and swipe right when you find someone you like. Make sure they're close by, like 10 miles or less, and then offer to grab a drink the same day. It's like having access to unlimited booty calls, and it's perfect for people like you who have unrelenting jobs. You use this? Of course. She picked up my phone and downloaded the app for me. From now on, you can run a few errands for your boss, get laid, and get right back to work. No problem. Even if the guy I want to fuck is my boss. What? What did you just say? I said I'd like to try Tinder tonight, right now. Half an hour later, I was sitting across the table from a Wall Street guy, in utter awe of how technology had completely changed the dating game. Well, the sex game, anyway.
So, what is it that you do again?
He asked.
I didn't quite catch that.
I'm the executive assistant to a CEO.
Ah.
He smiled.
And you've been at that for half a year?
I nodded.
I take it that you must love your job, then.
No, I love the money. I have a terrible-ass boss who thinks he owns every hour of my day, but I'm quitting soon. I said, not wanting to spend too much time on that conversation. This guy was no Preston at all, but he was attractive enough, and I needed to release all the arousal Preston made me feel into some actual sex. My vibrator collection was far too used to me using Preston Parker's face for late-night inspiration, and I wanted to give them a much-deserved break.
Tell me you haven't thought about fucking me since you started here.
What is it that you do? I asked.
I'm a junior intern at Wells Fargo.
He leaned forward, smiling.
I hate my job, too, so I'll be switching soon. You want to get out of here?
Absolutely. As I stood up, I felt my phone buzzing in my pocket. An email from Preston. Subject, emergency. I need your help. At midnight? I was tempted to open it, but I didn't. I knew it wasn't a real emergency, so I decided to deal with it after the sex. Minutes later, when we made it to the sidewalk, my phone buzzed once more. Preston. Subject, I know you saw my last email. I turned off my phone and looked at the guy, not even remembering his name. My place or yours?
I live 8 blocks away.
I'm only 2, I said, leading the way. He filled our short trek with small talk, but I was only halfway paying attention. The only thing I could think about was Preston's lips on mine, the feel of his hands drifting between my thighs.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Stranger guy said, running his fingers through my hair as I scanned my keycard at the front entrance. Me too. I smiled and pushed the door open, walking him over to the elevator bank. We stepped inside, and I hit the button for my floor. I thought he would start kissing me as soon as the doors closed, but he didn't. He only smiled. And with every floor we passed, images of Preston controlling my mouth and slipping his fingers deep inside of me crossed my mind.
Your mind was elsewhere while my fingers were deep in your pussy yesterday.
When the car stopped, I took off my jacket and led him down the hall. You want some wine before we get started? I have some chilled Moscato or some... I sucked in a breath when I saw the man who'd been ruining my life and my fantasies leaning against my wall in one of his impeccable gray suits. What the hell is he doing here? Smirking, Preston moved away from the wall and walked over to me.
You know, I think I need to write someone else down as my emergency contact if you're going to blow me off for...
He looked at Stranger Guy and rolled his eyes.
Whatever this is... You said you were single,
Stranger Guy said.
I don't do ex-boyfriend drama. She is single,
Preston said.
Very much so. Then who are you? I'm her terrible-ass boss who thinks he owns every hour of her day.
He smiled.
Surely she's mentioned me. She has, in those exact words, actually.
Preston said, ignoring the fact that I was glaring at him.
Well, we have a work emergency situation that we need to discuss privately.
Oh, sure.
Stranger guy shrugged. Well, hit me up some other night then, Tara.
He leaned forward to kiss my cheek, but Preston pulled me away from him. Stranger guy blinked in confusion, trying to kiss my cheek again, but Preston pulled me away from him once more.
Okay, then, he said. Good night, Tara and her boss.
Good night, we said in unison, making him look even more confused as he rushed back to the elevator. The second he was out of sight, I pushed Preston away. What the hell are you doing here?
I was concerned for your well-being.
He smiled.
I sent 2 emails, 3 texts, and I called. You didn't answer.
Because I was ignoring you.
Were you about to fuck him?
That's none of your business, I hissed, damn near hyperventilating. My life after hours is none of your business, and I sneezed as the scent of my neighbor's garlic dinner wafted through the hallway. I don't need you constantly calling and emailing me. I sneezed again. He pulled a handkerchief from his suit pocket and handed it to me. Thanks. I snatched it from him and let out a breath. What's the emergency?
It's quite a huge one.
He pulled a pair of cufflinks from his pocket.
I was hoping you could tell me if you thought these were shiny enough for my photo shoot with GQ this weekend, or if you thought I should have them polished before then.
Oh my fucking God! Are you being serious right now?
Yes.
He smirked.
They need to look good in all the pictures, don't you think?
You just made me miss out on sex for this?
No, I made you miss out on disappointment.
He said, stepping closer.
I wouldn't want you to fuck someone while thinking about someone else the entire time. Besides,
he lowered his voice and whispered into my ear.
He strikes me as an intern, and we both know that's not your type.
He moved back and looked me over, pinning me to the spot with his heated gaze.
I'm not sure if I've ever told you, Miss Lauren, but I don't appreciate being ignored.
Noted, I said, hating that my panties were soaking wet. I'm not sure if I've ever told you that I hate you.
You say it every day.
He smiled and started to walk away. Then he stopped and looked over his shoulder.
I'll take my coffee with you on all fours tomorrow morning.
What did you just say?
You heard me.
2 full years later. 11. Tara. Subject: your birthday party. Sorry I won't be there. Hey, Mariah. I'm so sorry that I won't be able to attend your birthday party this weekend. I know it's the big 3-0, and Ava and I promised that we would both be there in Vegas with you, but I won't be able to make it. I have to go with my boss to Belgium for a business trip. Please send pictures. Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Subject: your wedding. Can't make it. Hey, Brittany. I know you traveled all the way to New York last month with your tailor to get me fitted for a bridesmaid dress, but I won't be able to be in your wedding next month. 3 people have quit at my office, and my boss is taking me to Spain for an emergency strategy meeting for a new hotel he's building there. Please send pictures. Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Subject: your graduation tomorrow. I'm so sorry. Hey, Greg. Thank you so much for inviting me to your graduation. I know that we've been friends since we were 7, and you've done nothing but talk about getting your PhD since we were in high school, so congratulations on finally reaching that milestone. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it, as I'm still in Seattle with my boss, and we're getting slammed with new marketing work for a campaign. If you get another PhD, I'll definitely be at that graduation. Please send pictures. Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Subject: your baby shower. Can I still be the godmother? Hey there, Elise. Thank you so much for picking me to be the godmother of baby Chase. I'm so excited for him to arrive this fall. I know your baby shower is in 4 weeks, but I'm letting you know that I won't be able to make it. My boss has just booked 3 back-to-back international tours. I'm sending tons of diapers and onesies, though. Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Subject, winners never quit. Excuse my language. Just curious, Mom, does your trademark phrase apply when someone is working for an asshole boss who is single-handedly ruining her social life? Yes or no? Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Subject, reply, winners never quit. Excuse my language.
Did you mean to send this to me instead of your mother?
Preston Parker, CEO and owner of Parker International. Subject, reply, winners never quit. Excuse my language. Yes. Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International.
12. Preston, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. There had to be a word in the dictionary that was far stronger than torture, a word that perfectly captured how it felt to have the world at my fingertips, with the ability to get whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, except the one thing I wanted most, the one thing that was always right next to me, all day, every day, except when she's purposely running late. Looking outside the windows of the Coast Bar, I watched rain pelt the white sands of the beach, wondering just how late Tara was going to be to our private lunch today. Annoyed, I picked up my phone to see if she'd sent me an email and noticed an unread message. Subject: Don't forget about us. Dear Mr. Parker, I want you to know that I still have plenty of space for you in my heart, just like I know you still have space for me in yours. I know there's a certain someone who has become an obstacle for us lately with her changes in office protocol. How dare she take away my walk-in privileges? But I'm still here for you whenever you need me. I miss you, and I know you miss me. Cynthia Avery, Executive Receptionist, Parker International. P.S. I sent you a new picture last night. Is my number still blocked? You'll be highly upset with yourself if you miss this one. Wink, wink. Jesus Christ. I deleted her email and set down my phone. The last thing I wanted to do during an overseas business trip was deal with anyone back in New York. And while I'd never admit it, I loved that Tara had instituted new policies, so I hardly ever saw Cynthia or any of my auxiliary staff unless I specifically wanted to. She even moved all of the receptionists and secretaries to the floor below us, leaving the executive floor specifically for C-level executives. She'd been more upset with me than usual lately, and she was giving me her twisted version of the silent treatment. Ever since that night in her condo's hallway over a year ago, she'd wedged some distance between us. She avoided being alone with me on elevators, getting off on the next floor the moment I stepped onto the car. She insisted on having interns on the floor with us whenever I asked her to stay late, and she answered every one of my late-night phone calls with an, "I want you to know I'm recording every single word of this conversation for Human Resources, Mr. Parker." Unfortunately, none of those things quelled the tension between us. They only made it worse. With every day that passed and every minute we spent together, my attraction to her became more unbearable. Everything from the shape of her mouth to the curve of her hips was enough to make my cock hard whenever she entered a room, and I'd given up on trying to stop it. Despite the fact that I'd never been so sexually frustrated in my life and my cold showers were now at a record 4 a day, I considered Tara to be the closest thing I had to a real friend. My first real friend. And on a professional level, I honestly felt like she was more like a partner in my company than an executive assistant. "Mr. Parker," a waiter stepped in front of me with a notepad. "Would you like me to get you an appetizer while you wait for your companion, or would you like to order?" I looked outside the window again, finding the beach completely empty. "I'll go ahead and order." "Marvelous. What will you have this afternoon?" "For myself, I'll have the chef's special with your best red wine." He nodded. "Excellent choice, sir. And your companion?" "She'll want to try your scallops, but ask the chef not to use any butter," I said. "She'll also want a small grilled chicken salad with balsamic vinaigrette and extra tomatoes. Also, for her allergy's sake, could you make sure to leave out the garlic and chives?" As you wish, sir. He was still scribbling. Do you know what she'd like to drink? Vodka, I smiled. Your strongest. Pour it in a wine glass with a strawberry garnish so no one else knows. I'll have that right out, sir. He walked away and I picked up my phone. I scrolled to Tara's name, hesitating to call her, because I already knew what she was going to say. Yes, I'm still recording every single word you say, and for the record, this business trip was totally last minute, so I'll get to all the meetings when I feel like it. Right now, I don't feel like it. I smiled at the thought, and just as I was pressing call, she walked into the restaurant wearing a stunning black and gray dress with towering red stilettos. She put away her umbrella at the door and shook hands with the manager. As always, her raspy, sexy laugh drew looks from everyone who heard it, and the second she stepped onto the dining room floor, every man in her radius stopped and stared. Shivering, she made her way to our table and I stood up, taking off my blazer and wrapping it around her shoulders. I waited for her to sit down before returning to my seat. Are you still giving me the silent treatment? Depends. Are you going to apologize for insisting that I attend this private lunch and the executive meeting right after, when I specifically asked you if I could have today off? I'm not sure it's ever appropriate for a boss to apologize to his employee for asking her to do her job. Figures. She slipped her arms into my jacket and scowled, looking sexier than ever. When will the executives be here? They won't be here at all. I pushed the meeting to tonight when I realized how late you were going to be. How thoughtful of you. Next time I'll make you wait for 2 hours instead of one. We both know you'll never do that. Because I love my job so much? Because you're a workaholic, just like I am, I said. You hate being idle in the daytime. I hate working for you in the daytime. Miss, the waiter returned to the table before I could respond to that. Is there anything else you'd like to add to your order? Add? She looked at me and rolled her eyes. Can I please place my own order? I highly doubt my dining companion ordered anything I like, and I would hate to waste the chef's time by sending it back. Of course, miss. He pulled out his pad as she opened a menu. What would you like to have this afternoon? She paused. I want to try your scallops, but can you tell the chef not to use any butter with those? I'd also like to have the small grilled chicken salad with balsamic vinaigrette and extra tomatoes. He stopped writing, looking at me in confusion as Tara continued to talk. I have allergies, she said, so can you ask the chef to leave the garlic and chives out of the salad? As you wish, the waiter nodded. What would you like to drink with your meal? Your strongest brand of vodka, please, but please pour it into a wine glass with a strawberry garnish so no one else will know what it is. I'll be right back with that, miss. He stepped away from the table and she glared at me. That's exactly why I prefer to order my own food, she said. I'm very picky. I had no idea. Anyway, would you like to finally act like an adult and help me with the meeting preparation? Where do you think we should start? She didn't answer. She just pulled out her phone and tapped the screen. Seconds later, my phone buzzed with an email. Subject, your suit and tie. I've told you repeatedly that whenever you wear a navy blue suit and tie, you come off far more condescending than you actually are, which is actually quite shocking. You need to wear a gray suit and a pinstripe tie to tonight's meeting. Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. You're sitting right across from me and you'd rather send emails than talk? I asked. My phone buzzed again. Subject, your rhetorical question. Yes. Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Subject, reply, your rhetorical question. I don't recall asking if you would finally let me fuck you, but if your answer to that rhetorical question is still the same... Preston Parker, CEO and owner of Parker International. Okay, fine. She set her phone down as soon as she read my message. We can go through all the meeting preparations after we eat. I thought so. The waiter set down our food and drinks minutes later, and she immediately moved the pepper shaker away from my side of the table. I moved the bread basket away from hers. In the meantime, she said, You need a date to the Mr. New York Awards Gala at the end of next month. Would you like me to find you a plus one? I would like for you to stop bullshitting and go with me. I've told you on numerous occasions that it's not appropriate for me to attend social events as your date. You're my boss. I've told you that doesn't matter, and no one will dare to say a goddamn thing since I own the company. So, no plus one at all, she shrugged. I'll make the RSVP for one. You should also know that the New York Times is going to print a fairly decent article with a very unflattering headline about you next week. What's the headline? Soulless hotelier will participate in docu-series? I picked up my fork. Do you think I'm soulless? Yes. Is that my worst quality? No, she said. You're also quite evasive. How so? Because I know for sure that you have a twin brother that you refuse to acknowledge for some reason, she said. You don't acknowledge him in your interviews or in any of your biographies. You don't even mention your parents, so it's going to be very interesting to see you in a documentary when you're never open about anything. Unless, are you planning to finally talk about your family? I held my fork in midair, clenching my jaw as I processed her words. I'm afraid I don't have a family, Miss Lauren. I've told you that several times. I figured. She stuffed a bite of scallop into her mouth. Anything else random you'd like to ask, then? Are you dating someone new? What? She coughed. Are you dating someone new? I repeated, trying to mask my envy. When do you honestly think I would have the time to date someone, Preston? Perhaps during all the time we've been here, when you've spent your nights in my hotel's private lounge, whispering on the phone for hours instead of being in your room? Why were you stopping by my room in the middle of the night? That's not the point, I said. You weren't there. Is he another intern? No, she crossed her arms. It's not a he at all, it's my mother. Your mother is in Japan and she hates talking on the phone. She does, but she's in the middle of another finding herself exercise and she's required to talk to me for 2 hours about all of her hopes and dreams to better her aura and personal spirits. She took a long sip of vodka. She's also convinced herself that she needs to help me get rid of my negative aura, so we always end up talking for longer. Is she still telling you that winners never quit? Every damn day.
13. Terra. Belgium, Switzerland, China, London, France, Australia, Egypt, the Dominican Republic, Canada, Mexico. I flipped through the pages of my passport as Preston's private plane flew through the skies. Each sheet was stained with recent stamps from countries I hardly remembered seeing, each one a stark reminder of how drastic my life had changed within 2 years. I rented an exclusive condo on Park Avenue that offered weekly rooftop dinners with the best chefs in the city and early access passes to Broadway shows. My wardrobe was full of designer clothes that I once dreamed of wearing, and I no longer had to steal anything to survive. Well, I still took advantage of the free breakfasts here or there. My salary was now double what it was when I started, and I'd earned multiple bonuses. Despite all those things, I still felt miserable as hell. Would you like a snack, Miss Lauren? A flight attendant stepped in front of me. Your favorite gluten-free trail mix, perhaps? I nodded. Thank you. You're very welcome. She poured it into a glass bowl and handed me a bottle of water. Then she adjusted the pillow behind my head and whispered, Mr. Parker wants to know if you would like to stop anywhere else before we land in New York. No, I just want to go home. Very well, miss. She walked away, and I picked up my phone to send Ava an email. Subject, trip from hell. Kind of. I'm currently on the plane with Preston, so I can't call you, but I can't wait to get home and tell you all the shit he put me through this week. He gave me one off day, Ava. One. And I don't even think it counts because he still called me at 2 a.m. for no reason. No damn reason. Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. She emailed me right back. Subject, reply, trip from hell. Kind of. Wait, you're emailing me from a private plane after spending a week at the number one Parker hotel in the world, and you want to come home and complain about your life? Ava Sanders, bestie to Tara Lauren of Parker International, currently living my best life. Subject, reply, trip from hell, kind of. I'm honestly starting to feel like I don't have much of a life of my own at all. Tara Lauren, executive assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Shaking my head, I set my phone down and stared out the window until the familiar skyline of New York City came into view. We landed amidst a slight rainfall, but before I could take my first breath of familiar city air, I overheard Preston talking to the pilot.
"We need to go to Paris," he said. "Now, tell Heath to refuel the plane and then get us there ASAP." "Yes, sir."
I unbuckled my seatbelt and moved to the front of the cabin. "Did I just hear you say that we're about to go to Paris?"
"Yes."
He looked completely unfazed by this, as if there was no need for him to ask me if this was okay.
"There's been an incident with the senior management at my hotel. We'll need to be there for a week."
"Can I at least go home first and get new clothes?"
"I'll buy you whatever you need there."
He handed me a black card, and I noticed my name was now printed under his as an authorized user. "I just worked with you for 2 weeks straight in Mexico,
and now you'll work with me for a week straight in France."
"With all due respect," I said, feeling an oncoming headache, "I need a break."
"Then feel free to go to sleep."
He pointed to his private suite in the back.
"It's a 9-hour flight."
"What if I have plans in New York this week?"
"Do you?"
I groaned and bit my lip. Of course I didn't. His plans were my plans. His life was my life, and I couldn't even separate the two anymore.
"I thought so,"
he said.
"This week will give you more time to work on your mock presentation, since you'll soon be attending meetings on my behalf."
The plane began to move forward, preparing for takeoff, and I made my way to the back. I started to slam the door, but Preston caught it and glared at me.
"Is there a problem, Miss Lauren?"
You are my fucking problem." He had the audacity to smile, the audacity to step closer to me.
"If you're still this upset with me, I can think of a way we can fix it once and for all."
"Don't worry. I've already thought of how I'm going to fix this once and for all the second we get home." He raised his eyebrow, looking confused, and before he could say a word, his town car driver stepped into the room.
"Mr. Parker, the general manager of your Lexington hotel is on the phone for you. He says it's urgent."
Preston sighed and looked at me.
"Hold that thought."
"I won't." He left the room, and I promised myself that no matter what, the second we returned to New York, I was finally going to do what I should have done months ago. I'm done with his ass. 14. Tara. To whom it may concern, I would like to thank you so much for being my asshole boss for the past 2 years. I truly appreciate all the shit you've put me through, especially all the late-night phone calls, never-ending meetings, unrelenting trips at the very last minute, and unnecessary tirades about the grammatical errors in my emails. By the way, I never, ever pointed out the fact you constantly used dangling participles or split infinitives in your sentences, but that's a story for another day. As of this moment, I'm officially done working with your condescending ass, and I bet you'll wish you'll find someone half as good as me for your next assistant. Yes, I'm aware my previous sentence is grammatically incorrect. Deal with it. Goodbye. Tara Lauren. This letter doesn't look like any of the templates. Rereading the article on how to quit your job the right way, I deleted my words and took a deep breath. Pouring myself a fourth glass of wine, I tried to think like a true professional and typed a second draft. To whom it may concern, I am writing this letter to formally announce my resignation from Parker International and the arrogant, condescending CEO, effective 2 weeks from today. This was a very easy decision to make, as the past 2 years have been utterly miserable. I wish his next executive assistant all the luck in the world. She'll need it. And if my boss should need me to do anything over the next 2 weeks, kindly tell him that he can do it his goddamn self. Sincerely, not really, Tara Lauren. I stopped and started again, drinking glass after glass of wine until the letter sounded completely professional, until there wasn't a hint of malice or annoyance in my words. And when I was 100% sure that it was perfect, I printed it on bright white vintage paper. He hated regular copy paper when it came to important letters, signed it in black ink, and braced myself to hand it in first thing Monday. 15. Tara. Two large Colombian coffees with four flavor drops at exactly 155 degrees? The barista at Sweet Seasons called out my order Monday morning. For a Miss Lauren? That's me, I said, taking the drinks and heading to the town car. As I sat back in the seat, I shut my eyes and went over the words I'd committed to memory over the weekend, making sure they sounded as clear and concise as they did on paper. Dear Preston Parker, I would like to formally thank you for hiring me as your most recent executive assistant. I appreciate all I've learned while working at your company, and I've gained a new respect for the hard work that goes into making a hotel a home away from home for its guests. I also appreciate the fact that you've awarded me multiple bonuses for my work on the marketing campaigns, and that you took my advice on the Kaiserman deal. I also appreciate the fact that you awarded me the Golden Room Key, the top employee award at Parker International, after helping you finally land discussions with Von Strum. All of those things said, this letter serves as my 2 weeks' notice. As of August 3rd, I will no longer be an employee of Parker International and will no longer serve in any capacity as your executive assistant. I wish you all the best in your search for another one, and I will do my best to help spearhead the process. I promise to give you my best work until my last day. Thank you again for all of the opportunities, and I truly hope you'll be able to offer me a great reference in return for the excellent work I've done for you over the years. Sincerely, Tara Rose Lauren. I took a deep breath and sighed. It's perfect, Tara. Don't back down. Don't back down. When I made it to his office, he was already sitting behind his desk, and the new intern was unwrapping his breakfast.
Good morning, Miss Lauren, he said, smiling. Was there a problem with your phone this weekend?
Other than the fact that I temporarily blocked your number? Maybe, I shrugged. I think I heard some people were fed up with the service they've been getting, so maybe they decided to cut it off.
I hadn't heard that.
He narrowed his eyes at me.
Was there also a problem with your email address this weekend? I sent you a few emails.
30 is not a few.
So you did receive them?
Yes.
Do you plan on answering them?
Yes, Mr. Parker. I realized the intern was struggling to uncap a bottle of orange juice, so I took it and opened it for him. I'll answer those emails when I get a chance.
When you get a chance?
He repeated my words as if he was unsure what they meant. He looked as if he was about to say something rude as hell, but his phone rang and he answered it. I immediately knew it was George by his tone, so as he redirected his attention to his desktop, I pulled my 2 weeks' notice from my purse and placed it under his bagels. Breathing a sigh of relief, I left his office and locked the door to my own. I dropped my purse to the floor and looked around my office for what I hoped would be one of the last times. I wonder if I should take all the bookshelves with me when I leave. I took my time walking around my office, appreciating all the space I never truly had the time to use. From the chaise longues and the flat-screen television that hung in the far corner to the private ensuite that housed a small bed for napping, and a luxury jacuzzi. I couldn't help but shake my head at the first days when they were installed, when I thought I would actually get a chance to use them. By the time I finally forced myself to sit at my desk and do some work, it was 10 o'clock, and a new email from Preston was at the top of my inbox. Subject, your 2 weeks' notice.
I don't think so.
Preston Parker, CEO, Parker International. Subject, reply, your 2 weeks' notice. It's not really up for debate. Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Subject, reply, your 2 weeks' notice.
then it's up for legal litigation and serious financial and professional consequences. Surely after working here for 2 years and knowing what my legal team is capable of, you don't want to put yourself through that.
Preston Parker, CEO, Parker International. Subject, reply, your 2 weeks notice. Are you threatening to sue me in order to prevent me from quitting? Seriously? Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Subject, reply, your 2 weeks notice.
Quite the contrary, Miss Lauren. I highly suggest you read the fine print at the bottom of the contract that you signed upon your hiring. Also, read the secondary fine print regarding the acceptance of the bonus offers you've been awarded over the past 2 years. When you're finished, please ask another intern to bring me the correct breakfast. You know I hate American-style omelets.
Preston Parker, CEO, Parker International. Tara Lauren Employment Contract .pdf. Conditions of Employment .pdf. Conditions of Bonus Acceptance .pdf. I rolled my eyes and sent the documents to my printer. I read them with a red pen in hand, underlining a few questionable clauses about travel and employee discounts, but there was nothing glaring about quitting. The only thing remotely close was a non-compete clause regarding the attempt to seek out other employment while still employed by Parker International without first notifying the boss. But I'd long given up getting another job while still working for him. After 8 straight final interviews and 8 straight rejections, I no longer had the time for false hopes in my life. I reread the contracts one last time, sending them to Ava to see if she could catch something I couldn't, but all she said in response was, "What the hell is he talking about? There's nothing here. Fuck him." Not in the literal or sexual way, like in the mean forget-about-him type of way. I shook my head and sent Parker an email. Subject, the fine print. I've read the contract several times over. There is no fine print regarding me leaving. Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Subject, reply, the fine print.
Come to my office, and I'll show you that there definitely is.
Preston Parker, CEO, Parker International. I grabbed all my printed papers and walked to his office, leaving the door wide open. Dropping the sheets on his desk, I crossed my arms. I don't see any rules about me quitting anywhere.
It's on the last page.
I reached over him, inhaling the intoxicating scent of his cologne, and flipped to the last page. There was only one paragraph at the top and my signature at the very bottom of the page. "You're referring to the clause about me agreeing to all of the above rules?" I asked. "The above rules that make no mention of penalties for quitting?"
"No,"
he said, smirking.
"I'm referring to the 5 paragraphs right above your signature."
My stare was as blank as the middle of this page was. "Okay, look," I said. "I'm not sure what type of mind game you're trying to pull right now, but I've given you my 2 weeks notice, and I'm going to submit it to Human Resources once you comply with Clause 6 and give me all the vacation time I've earned in dollars. I also want a written reference from you that I can take with me to any job interview I get in the future." He laughed and opened his drawer, pulling out a gray highlighter.
"I don't play mind games, Miss Lauren, and the next time you sign a contract, I'm sure you'll take a long look at it first."
He began pressing his highlighter against the blank section on the page, and words in fucking white ink began to appear. He took his time highlighting all 5 paragraphs, keeping that smackable smirk on his face, and then he handed the paper to me.
"There," he said. "Like I was saying, I highly advise you to read the fine print."
My eyes caught sight of the words "indefinite employment term," and I damn near screamed. "Why the hell didn't you tell me about this before?"
"You never asked."
I felt my blood boiling, felt my hand being seconds away from giving him the slap he deserved.
"Careful," he said. "We both know that whenever you're angry, you tend to say things you don't mean."
"I fucking hate you," I seethed. "Truly fucking hate you." He smiled, completely unfazed. "This can't count. I still couldn't believe this. You printed the most damaging terms in unreadable white ink.
And?
He said.
Legally speaking, that doesn't excuse you from reading them. And as someone with a law degree, surely your professors taught you to be wary of too much white space in a contract for the sake of hidden clauses.
So you're admitting that you purposely hid it?
I'm admitting that you should have read it.
He smiled.
Would you like to go over the Von Strum files now that you're officially my partner on the project? This looks like it'll be your most promising effort yet.
I stood still, glaring at him.
Then again,
he said, sounding somewhat sincere even though I knew he wasn't.
Something tells me you need a break, so you're free to go home and we can pick up tomorrow.
I didn't say a word in response. I stormed right out of his office, straight to the elevator, and went the hell home. 15B. Tara. There is no way you can call yourself a lawyer after signing something like this. Ava paced our floor as she read the highlighted sections of my contract later that afternoon. Not to make you feel even worse, but I don't know if I'd hire you if I got into trouble anymore. He printed it in white ink, Ava. White fucking ink! I picked up a pillow and screamed into it for the umpteenth time. Ava ignored me and continued to read. The employee is indebted to her employer for the full term of the contract, which is a minimum of 7 years, unless he/she should perish. The employee agrees that he/she will not submit a 2 weeks notice or any other notification regarding a self-requested termination without advance written approval from the employer. The previous clause is null and void if the employee is submitting the aforementioned notice within the final 7th year of employment. I tossed a glass across the room and uncorked my 3rd bottle of wine for the night. I couldn't imagine working for Preston for 1 more year, let alone another 5. The employee agrees to discuss any issues with her employer, as she is a C-level executive/employee, and upon completing the first 120 days of employment, 120 days, is no longer under the sole jurisdiction of the Human Resources Department. Okay, stop. Can you help me fake my death? I asked. I think I can live on the run for a while. No thanks. She shook her head. It says that for every bonus you've accepted, that adds an additional year to your contract. How many have you earned? At least 20. Oh, God! I brought a pillow up to my face again, screaming even louder. Why is this happening to me? It also says that if he dies, you're out of your contract immediately. So you can always go the poison or allergy route. Is he allergic to anything? Every level of human decency? She laughed. Well, maybe try talking to him. You never know. He may just let you out of your contract just because you've been a great employee. I mean, outside of trying to get him to fire you, what other choice do you have? Wait, what did you just say about getting fired? The only other way you can get out of this thing is if he fires you for lackluster work and poor performance. I smiled. I can definitely do that.
16. Preston. I felt betrayed as hell. For 2 goddamn years I'd worked alongside this woman, and I never thought I would see the day when she had the audacity to turn in a 2 weeks' notice. She was now my highest-paid employee by far, and her recent benefits were so over the top and beyond the scope of what any Fortune 500 CEO offered that George made me submit to a quarterly psychiatric exam to make sure I knew what the hell she was being offered access to. I knew we had our heated arguments from time to time, that a lot of it was the result of pent-up tension she failed to acknowledge, but I refused to believe that I was as terrible a boss as she often made me out to be. I also refused to believe that she couldn't see how much I'd given up for her. I hadn't fucked another woman since we met because no other woman compared. I spent more time with her than with the women I used to date, and I could honestly say that she knew me better than anyone else. I was pretty certain I knew her better than anyone else, too. Preston? George waved his hand in front of my face. Preston? Yes? Are you going to talk about some business today, or are you going to continue mumbling to yourself? We can talk about business. Go ahead. Great. He cleared his throat. So, as you know, Parker International wants to get into budget hotels for some strange reason that the CEO won't divulge, but he wants to start with the Von Strum chain. You don't have to talk about me in the third person, I said. I'm right here. Miss Lauren has always insisted that I talk to you in the third person when we're about to pursue something new. It's actually helped previously. I don't want to hear shit about Miss Lauren today, I seethed. Are we clear? He blinked, setting his paper down. Please tell me you didn't fire her. Please. I wouldn't dare. No, I'm just upset about something she's done recently. Oh, he shrugged. Well, I heard about how she berated our marketing team in Seattle, but that's nothing to hold against her. She saved you a lot of money and tons of bad press. Now, anyway, back to the Von Strum chain. It's a 3-star hotel chain that caters to families, road trip travelers, budget-conscious consumers, and... Do you think I have a soul, George? I interrupted him. Okay, that's it. I think it's time that I schedule you for another psychiatric evaluation. He looked at his watch. It's been about 3 months since the last one, so would you like me to ask if the doctor can see you this evening? Answer the question, I said. Do you think I'm soulless? Depends. Is this conversation off the record? Yes. Well, with all due respect, Preston, I honestly think you're an utter asshole. That's not what I asked you. I thought we were off the record, he said. You are hands down the most ruthless CEO I've ever worked for, and there have been plenty of times when I've thought you lacked a soul. Hell, I think the fact that you don't have any family or friends in your life has worked to your benefit, but it's also been a huge detriment in how you handle things sometimes. Do you think I'm evasive? You're beyond evasive, he laughed. I've been working for you for 8 years, and I still have no idea who you are. He laughed even harder and stood to his feet. I'm going to get an energy drink, and when I get back, you're going to be the all-business Mr. Parker that I admire. I'm not sure how to handle this other version of you. He patted my shoulder as he left the room, and my mind immediately reverted to thoughts of Tara and that damn 2 weeks' notice. I thought about asking her how I could be less soulless or less evasive, if that would be enough to get her to be more comfortable staying. If I could tell her that I was willing to do whatever it took to get her to be okay with remaining here at Parker International. Maybe we can talk this out like adults. Good afternoon, Mr. Parker. Tara walked into my office, smiling. Here's your lunch. The interns are responsible for bringing me lunch these days, you know that. Oh, I know, she said, setting down the tray. But since today is such a great day, I wanted to personally handle it for you. I hope you enjoy everything, especially the mashed potatoes. Why the fuck are they green?
They don't look that green to me.
They're the same color as the salad.
Maybe the chef put something in them then, she shrugged. Here is the report on the W hotels that you asked for earlier. I highlighted all the important parts, just as you asked.
I looked down and saw that she'd highlighted the in every sentence.
I've sent your cufflink and watch collection to a new jeweler to get them polished, but they seem to have lost a few of them.
Excuse me?
Don't worry, she said. They're willing to give you a free $20 cleaning credit if they don't find them by the end of the day. I mean, the shop's name is Best Pawn Deals and Cheap Jewelry Cleaning, so I think they'll do just as good a job with your valuables as the guys at Audemars Piguet or Patek Philippe.
I swear to God, if every single one of my watches and cufflinks isn't accounted for by the end of the day...
You'll fire me? She smiled. Really?
I'll definitely... I paused, suddenly seeing where she was going with this. I'll have to consider all of my options if that is the case, Miss Lauren. If you think I'm going to fire you over some shit I can afford 100 times over, you have another think coming.
Good to know. She picked up a fork and placed it right into the green mashed potatoes. Is there anything else I can do for you today, Mr. Parker?
I tapped my fingers atop my desk, temporarily distracted by her bright pink lips and form-fitting beige dress. That's all for now, Miss Lauren.
I'll be patiently awaiting your next request. She gave me a slow smile, one of the rare flavors I couldn't quite read, and then she left the room. The second the door shut, I picked up my phone and called Cynthia.
Yes, Mr. Parker?
Can you kindly have one of the interns bring me some lunch, preferably something without green mashed potatoes? By do you mean yes and right away?
No, sir. I meant that won't be possible. Miss Lauren let all the interns have today and the rest of the week off. She said you wanted it that way so you could focus all of your energy on the Von Strum stuff?
What? Oh, I see. I felt my blood beginning to boil. Well, when you get a chance, can you please pick up a new order for me from the cafe that I like?
She cleared her throat. She let me off for 2 weeks, sir. I'm heading home to New Jersey right now. I guess I forgot to unlink my cell phone from my desk phone.
I ended the call. Okay, Miss Lauren. Two can play this goddamn game.
17. Tara. I slept in for the first time in 2 years. Rolling over in bed, I looked at the clock and saw that it was only 9 o'clock. I grabbed my phone off the nightstand and noticed that my text inbox was full and my unread emails totaled 307. Out of habit, I was tempted to start answering them all, to call my town car driver and ask that he immediately rush me to work so I could salvage the rest of the day, but I turned off my phone instead. If Preston didn't fire me over 5 lost Audemars Piguet watches, then he would definitely fire me for not showing up to one of his most important strategy meetings of the year. I set my alarm for noon and rolled back over, falling asleep. Later that afternoon, I took a walk through Central Park before calling my driver and asking him to pick me up at a florist stand.
"Is everything all right, Miss Lauren?"
He jumped out of the car and opened the back door for me.
"Everyone at the office thought something had happened to you, and I couldn't reach you on your cell phone."
"Everything's perfectly fine. I just decided to take the day off."
"The day off?"
He looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language.
"Are you sure you're feeling all right?"
"Absolutely." I laughed and slipped onto the back seat. "I'm sure." As he drove, I turned on my phone and saw that my email inbox was now over 500 messages, and the first page of messages were all from Preston. Subject, you're an hour late. Subject, the Von Strum prep meeting is today. Subject, why am I still missing 5 watches? Subject, now you're 2 hours late. Shrugging, I turned it off again. "Can we stop at Sweet Seasons for coffee first?" I asked.
"Of course."
His eyes met mine in the rearview mirror.
"Good thinking, Miss Lauren. Mr. Parker is always more understanding when he has some coffee in his hand."
This coffee isn't for him. It's for me. I used Preston's black card at the shop, treating every customer inside to a free cup on his behalf, and then I bought 10 of their $80 gift bags for no reason. When I arrived at the office, the main receptionist stood up from her desk. "Miss Lauren?"
"Yes?"
She walked over to me, her eyes wide. "Miss Lauren, are you aware that you're wearing sweatpants and a tank top? You know how Mr. Parker is about the dress code here. Would you like me to call your contact at Nordstrom's and see if she can rush over a suit?" "No, that's okay. I'm sure Mr. Parker won't mind me looking like this today." She swallowed and stepped back, looking as if she was the one wearing sweats instead of me. I gave her one last smile and walked over to the elevator bank, noticing the silent stares of everyone in the lobby. I held back a laugh and hit the button for the top floor. Stepping off the car seconds later, I swiped my card against the access panel and made my way to my side of the floor. "Good morning, George." I spotted him sitting in the hallway. "Is it going well so far?"
"Good morning, Miss Lauren."
He looked at his watch.
"It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon."
"Oh, I didn't notice. Well, I hope you got a lot of work done today, then."
"I probably would have gotten a lot more done if you were here."
He looked at my outfit and shook his head.
"Mr. Parker wants to see you. I suggest you change clothes first."
"No, thanks." I smiled and headed to Preston's office. When I stepped inside, I saw that he was standing by his windows, wearing the dark gray suit and silver chromed tie I loved him in the most. He was running his hands through his freshly cut hair, and for a split second, I almost forgot why I hated him so much. "George said he wanted to see me?" I asked, and he immediately turned around, instantly turning me on the second his eyes met mine. "I'm so sorry that I'm 4 hours late to today's meeting." I rushed the words out before he could respond. "Did I miss anything important?"
"Not at all, Miss Lauren."
He eyed my outfit and stepped closer to me, and that smirk I was all too familiar with crossed his lips.
"When I realized you weren't going to arrive at your usual time, I told everyone we'll start whenever you get here."
"Then maybe I shouldn't have shown up at all."
"Maybe."
He closed the gap between us.
"But like I've told you previously, you're incapable of being idle in the daytime."
"That's probably the only thing you know about me."
"I also know that you've never been fucked properly,"
he said,
"but that's a story for a different day."
He kept his eyes on mine and pulled his phone out of his pocket, holding it up to his ear.
"Mrs. Vaughn, Miss Lauren has finally decided to arrive, and she's wearing exactly what I expected. So can you kindly come upstairs with the wardrobe I ordered this morning so she can pick something more appropriate to wear for our rescheduled meeting?"
I felt my jaw unhinging and bit my lip to keep my mouth shut.
"I appreciate your assistance in this matter, Mrs. Vaughn."
He ended the call and returned the phone to his pocket.
"You can take as much time as you need getting ready, Miss Lauren. Thanks to you, no B-level or C-level employee is allowed to leave this building until this meeting is finished. So it's up to you whether people get to go home and enjoy the rest of their day, or whether they get to be a part of some game you're attempting to play with your far more skilled boss."
Son of a bitch. I stood there, glaring at him, hating that my nipples were hardening under my tank top.
"Would you like some help getting dressed?"
he asked, looking down and noticing my body's reaction to him. He gently tugged the strap of my tank top.
"I'm not opposed to helping you take this off at all."
Shamefully wet, I stepped back and stormed out of the room. He'd won this round, hands down, but I would definitely win the next. The next morning, I leaned back in my office chair, hitting ignore on my phone each time Preston called me. After 10 straight rejections, he walked into my office and narrowed his eyes at me. "May I help you with something, Preston?"
"Preston?"
He raised his eyebrow. "Oh, that's right. Am I supposed to call you Mr. Parker if we're in the office?"
"I would prefer that, since no other executive employees are allowed to do otherwise."
"Okay. Well, I'll try to remember that for next time, Preston." I shrugged. "How may I help you this morning?"
"It's the goddamn afternoon."
"Is it?" I smiled and turned around in my chair, looking up at the clock. It is 2 o'clock, isn't it? Wow, time is really flying these days.
"Miss Lauren."
"Yes?" I spun around to face him again. "You were saying you needed me to do something?"
"For starters, since you've given the interns unauthorized time off and you were beyond late again, you can go to Sweet Seasons and get me some afternoon coffee."
"I don't think so. You don't need Sweet Seasons coffee anymore," I said, standing up and walking over to my beverage cabinet. "I have something even better and faster for you." I rolled out the mini Keurig I never got the chance to use, and I could literally feel him losing his shit as I plugged it into the wall. This takes like 2 minutes to heat up, and the coffee is usually ready seconds after that. I said, opening a package of cheap Colombian-like coffee pods, "and I know how particular you are about the chocolate drop that Sweet Seasons places at the bottom of every cup, so..." I unwrapped a Hershey's Kiss and dropped it into a paper cup. "There." I placed the cup on the brewing plate and hit start. "Now that you're seconds away from enjoying some just-like Colombian coffee, what else do you need me to do for you?" The vein in his neck swelled, but he kept his expression stoic.
"After you go to Sweet Seasons and get me the coffee I prefer, the next thing you're going to do..."
"I haven't agreed to the first thing."
"I know damn well that you're going to do so."
He glared at me.
The next thing you're going to do is bring me the report on the top 10 budget hotels that you've been working on for the past 4 months, so we can go over the calculations.
I stopped working on that a while ago, I said, but I'd be happy to send you the 10% that I completed. I'm sure you can complete the other 90% on your own. You are the CEO of this company, after all. It wouldn't kill you to get your hands dirty for a few days. He sucked in a slow breath, looking as if he was about to give me the "you're fucking fired" I rightfully deserved. But he didn't. Instead, he stepped back and smiled.